You can do better. Every day, we wake up and we breathe. We walk. We go in and come out. We owe God gratitude. I'm forever grateful. I'm forever grateful. I don't know about you. I'm forever grateful. Coming and all my online members, home and abroad, with your hands lifted up, let us look unto the Lord this morning. I say, Heavenly Father, as never before, we need fresh breath. Breathe upon us this morning. Across the nations, from community to community, from city to city, from home to home, breathe upon us that we may live again. We break the spirit of blindness. We bind the spirit of deafness. We command that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened in the knowledge of your word. In the name of Jesus, we destroy the veil. We command utterance. Let the word of the Lord have a free. Let there be no interference. Let there be no interference. We break the spirit of heaviness in the atmosphere. We untie your people. We free your people. As we put our hands together, we command freedom. Freedom. And liberty in the house. Across every nation, all over the nations, across the globe, let there be freedom in the name of Jesus. Say, above all, I proclaim the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Over my life, Jesus Christ is Lord over this house, Lord over all that concerns me, Lord over my nation. Jesus Christ is Lord over the nation. Amen. If you believe it, put your hands together and you may be seated wherever you are. Welcome to our second service today. We live in perilous times, difficult, challenging, and trying times in the history of humanity. There are all kinds of conspiracy theories flying all over the place. One group of people saying that these pandemic began somewhere in a market in China others in a lab. We hear that the vaccines that are coming out have 70%, 80% success. Some say that even if you take the vaccine, it lasts for only 4 months and you have to take a new one, and on and on. And others are saying that the most important thing is to have a strong immune system, which I agree with, and that even with the vaccine, if your immune system is compromised, you can still have the virus, but you may not die. And it goes on and goes on and goes on and goes on. Every day, there's a new conspiracy theory coming out. Some people say that some wealthy people have come together to make sure that 50% of the human race are taken out or eliminated through this pandemic. And it goes on and on. And we are beginning to believe some of these conspiracy theories and beginning to confess it and beginning to allow it to govern our lives and to determine the choices or decisions we make. But as people of God and children of God, we cannot allow the world to dictate. We can't allow our choices or decisions to be determined by conspiracy theories. There are many voices out there, but there is one voice that speaks from heaven. And the Bible said that the voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. And the Bible said it shall come to pass in that day that whosoever shall hear the voice of the Son of God shall live. I want you to keep hearing the voice of the Son of God and not the voice of the conspiracy theories that are flying all over the place. Because lack of understanding leads to misunderstanding. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about the times we live in and what's going on because we lack understanding from the one that holds all things in his hands. This morning, at the second service, I want to talk to you about be courageous. Be courageous. The Bible talks about courage. The word courage is found in the Bible over 20 times. Be courageous. And what is courage? Courage is the ability to withstand or to confront fear and danger. The ability to withstand or to confront fear and danger. I was talking to somebody the other day and he said, "Papa, I don't go out since the lockdown. I haven't even been to church. I don't go anywhere. I don't go to parties. I don't go to funeral. I don't go anywhere." And he said that he lost a loved one living with him in the same house to COVID and don't understand how it happened because he wasn't also going out. They were all together. And I said, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if going out or not going out, you can still be infected, then we must come to one conclusion that it's God and God alone. That's it. Say God and God alone. God and God alone. So I want to talk to you about being courageous. Having the ability to withstand the fears of the times and confront the dangers of the times we live in. Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians 6 and 10. Ephesians 6 and 10.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Be strong, not in your ideas. He didn't say be strong in your feelings or in your emotions or in your logic or in your philosophy. He didn't say be strong in your arguments. He said be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The times we live in demands that you and I be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I said the other day that Job's number one priority, Satan's number one priority for attacking Job, has nothing to do with his children or his health or his wealth or money. It had everything to do with his relationship with God. That was what he was interested in. So when he went for the kids, he still wasn't moved. He went for his health, his wealth. He didn't stop there because that wasn't what he was looking for. He was using all that to undermine his relationship with God. He went after things he cared about, thinking that Job cared more about these things than his relationship with God. And that by doing that, he could persuade him or get him to give up his relationship with God. And Job said, though he slays me, yet I'll trust him. And when Satan failed, he entered into Job's wife and said, why don't you get him to curse God, break his relationship with God, and end it all? And Job said, woman, you talk like one of those silly women. You are talking like one who doesn't have understanding of God's word. Even though we understand that our understanding is limited, yet you are talking like one of those silly women. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. Come with me to Deuteronomy 31, 6 and 7. Deuteronomy 31, 6 and 7.
Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them.
These are very important. Be strong and of a good courage. So you can be strong and lack courage. You can be strong and yet be weak. You can be strong and lack the ability to confront your fears and to confront danger, even though you are strong. And so God is saying to us, I need you to be strong in the times you live in, and I need you to be of a good courage. I need you to have the mental and emotional and moral ability to withstand fear and to confront danger. Go ahead. Please put your hands together and give the Lord praise.
Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. Mm-hmm. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
He said he will not fail you. He won't disappoint you. And he will not leave you alone nor forsake you. I was saying in the first service that if government, men like you and I, evil as we are, have a sense of responsibility to protect our citizens and to protect those who work for us. The different embassies of nations in this country have the responsibility to protect their citizens and the members of the diplomatic corps, those who work for their countries in this nation. Every nation have the responsibility to protect their own. Why? Because they are on assignment. They are on a mission. They are not here on their own. They are here representing their governments. And the Bible says, for we are the ambassadors of Christ. For as he is up there, so are we here on earth. So whether you understand it or not, you are an ambassador of Christ. You are a representative of Jesus Christ on earth. And wherever you are and wherever you work, you are an ambassador of Christ. You represent God's interest at your workplace, at the marketplace. You represent God's interest wherever you are and whatever you do in this life. You are representing God's interest. Say amen. And if nations have a sense of responsibilities towards their citizens and those who work and protect the interest and the policy of their country, how much more the living God? The Bible says that cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. We need to come to a place to have the understanding that you and I are on assignment. We are on a mission. We weren't just born to be here, go to school, graduate, get a good education, a good job, and make money, make babies, take care of children, give them an inheritance. That is not what life is all about. Life is bigger than that. Life is greater than that. We are here, ladies and gentlemen, to perform a duty, to fulfill a purpose, to carry out an assignment given to you and I by eternity. We are men and women on assignment, like Simeon of the Bible, who was told by the Holy Ghost that he will not see death until he has performed the will of God for which life was given unto him. And until we understand this common principle, that we are not here on our own, that we are in this world, but we are not of this world, and that we are on assignment, heaven there has no mandate and authority to take responsibility of the outcome of our circumstances. As long as it's about us, as long as we think we are here on our own, doing our own thing, then heaven is not responsible to protect you. But if you are here with the understanding that you came to perform a duty, like Mordecai said to Esther, for thou hast come into the kingdom for such a time like this, to perform a duty for the deliverance of God's people. It is when you have this understanding that you are not on your own, and you are here to deliver and to perform a duty, then heaven is under obligation. For it is written, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. Do you still love him? Do you love him despite all that is happening? Do you still love him despite the rumors, the speculations, the fear, the uncertainty, the dying, the storms, and the strange wind? Is your love for God still intact? For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love him, despite what's going on, and are called according to his purpose. Not your purpose, not my purpose, but his purpose. God has a purpose and a plan for you. Jeremiah 1:5, he said, before I formed you, clot of blood in your mother's womb, I knew you. You were ordained before you born as patience. Your destiny was determined before you were born. You are not here to do what you want and what you please and your own thing. You are a man and a woman of destiny. And I was saying to them at the first service that most times when people die, we say, rest in peace in the bosom of your Lord. Rest in peace. It's not about rest. When we live here, we have to give an account of our stewardship. And if you don't know, I'm telling you, if you study the scriptures carefully, everybody will stand before the white throne. And that judgment is not for condemnation, it's for accountability, it's for stewardship. The Bible said those who bless is everyone who sleeps or dies in the Lord. For they will cease from their labor, and their works shall follow them. What are you laboring for? And who are you laboring for? Are you laboring for the Lord or for your children? Who are you laboring for? There come a day, ladies and gentlemen, when our labor will cease, and our works that we have done for him and the kingdom shall follow us. And all of us will give an account on that day of our stewardship. What we did with the life and the time, the opportunities, and the resources, and the giftings that was given to you and I to perform the duty of the kingdom and the ministry. This is not about you. It's not about me. He expects us to labor for the ministry, labor for the work of God, laboring for the kingdom. For he said, I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Paul said, I have finished my course, my labor is over. Jesus said, it is done, it is finished. That means assignment and mission accomplished. I'm ready to be offered. And you have no business nor right dying until your mission is accomplished, until the purpose for which you came is done. My assignment this morning is to call your attention to this fact, that you are on assignment, you are on a mission, and until you find that purpose and assignment for which you were given life and for which you were born, you are wasting God's time and energy and resources. For a man's life does not consist by the abundance of things that he possesses. Life is more than money. Life is more than material things. And life is more than accolades and houses and buildings. I was telling them at the first service that when we were my father's house, there was this couple that were really struggling financially. They were in every prayer meeting, every fasting prayer meeting, they were there, going through every spiritual exercise, making calls for them, connecting them to people in high places. Suddenly they made it big time. He started having attitudes. Wouldn't come to church Sunday, stay in the house, washing his car. When you call him, he talks about he's busy. It wasn't too long, and he passed suddenly. And when he passed, he left everything he had to his kids. Didn't even leave a boy's quarters to the church. I didn't say anything, and I understood that he labored for his children and not for God, not for the ministry. And the children started fighting, threatening to kill one another. I had to step in to save the situation. And one day I almost said, hey, mister, if you can see me, do you see the mess you've left behind for the church to fix? Meanwhile, you didn't do anything for the church. They cease on their labor. What is it that you are laboring for? Who are you laboring for? Are you laboring for your children? For men? And some kids that will not even have the Lord and don't want to have anything to do with God. Who are you laboring for? And who are you using God's protection and blessing on your life for? They cease from their labor, and their works they've done for God will follow them. Not the works they did for men. Not the works they did for themselves, but the works they did for God shall follow them and determine their eternal rewards. So it's not just going to heaven to rest in the bosom of our Father. It's giving an account of our stewardship to determine our placement in eternity. Take what I'm telling you seriously, because one day you will face it. Some years ago, I was with Bishop Yaku and the team, and we prayed for some hours, and I felt this deep sleep coming upon me. So I said, Bishop, take over. Let me rest. As soon as I hit the bed, I left my body. And I went through the clouds, and I was in heaven, a place in heaven. Heaven is not one big place. There are so many cities and communities in heaven. It's amazing. And I was taken to a high, beautiful green mountain, full of greens, and everything glowing. It was like diamond lights all over. Amazing. I haven't seen anything like that. And then the angel said to me, that is the city of T.L. Osborne. And I said, T.L. Osborne, that is my grandfather in the faith. When I came back to my body, I used to live in Maryland at that time, and my children were not in Oral Roberts University. So when I went, I visited them at Tulsa, Oklahoma. And when I was returning to Maryland, the Spirit said to me, reroute your ticket. Go through Chicago, because I'd come through Houston, Texas. So go through Chicago. And I didn't want to do it, but I felt impressed by the Spirit to do it. So I called my office and said, reroute me through Chicago. So I came through Chicago airport. And when we arrived at Chicago, my flight to BWI, Baltimore International, was delayed for 2 hours. And that confused me the more, that 2 hours, I have to sit there. I should have gone to Houston. Maybe I missed it. Anyway, I was already in Chicago. So I said, let me go to Starbucks and buy coffee. I was standing in the queue, waiting to get cappuccino. Then the Spirit whispered and said, lift up your head and look. When I lifted up my head, that was T.L. Osborne sitting down having coffee. So I walked to him and I said, Grandpa. And he said, Nicholas. And we started talking. And I said, Grandpa, I saw your city in heaven. And I described what I saw. And he said, that's why I'm over 80 years and I'm still preaching the gospel to save souls. If you know and understand the benefit of touching land, winning souls, and using your resources to push the ministry and to expand the work of God, you will use everything you have for the ministry. When I was doing my second will, I said to my attorney, I said, everything I have and I'll ever have, this percentage goes to my children. And I said, the rest, this percentage goes to my grandchildren, especially those of them who serve the Lord. And those who don't serve God and won't go to church, let their school fees and things be taken care of. And then give more to those who serve the Lord and go to church. And everything else is for the church. He said, I've never seen any believer giving anything to the church. They always will everything to their children. And I said, I'm a different animal. I know from whence I came. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am a product of grace and mercy. I cannot forget how far the Lord has brought me. And it wasn't my children or grandchildren that gave me anything. It was the Lord. And even after I've finished my course and I'm gone, the ministry must still move on. The work of God must still march on. So I'm not just giving everything to my children and forget the work of God. The work of God must continue. I'm laboring. I'm not laboring for my children. I'm not laboring for man. I'm not laboring for country. Neither am I laboring for me. I'm laboring for the master in the vineyard of the Lord. And when my labor sees my works that I have done for the Lord, his kingdom and souls and the ministry shall follow me for eternal placement and reward. My assignment this morning is to remind you, because the reason why a lot of us are fearful, living in fear, panic, is because we have forgotten that we are on a mission. A Chinese great man of God, was Wang Yi, said in the 40s, he was in transit in the UK. And while he's in transit, he was told that there was an attempt by Hitler, Germany, to attack the UK. And there were all kinds of rumors, speculation going on. Then he said that whether Germany attacks the UK or not, it really didn't matter to him because he was in transit. He's just passing by. We are in this world. We are not of this world. Corona can come to the world, but it cannot touch us because we are not of this world. Are you hearing me, somebody? And the world can be messed up, but we are not. Hear me. It doesn't matter what happens in Ghana with the economy, with water, with light situation and everything. The diplomatic calls and the embassies are always provided and taken care of. Many years ago, when we had Dumsa in Ghana, I was talking to an ambassador friend of mine, and I said, how is the light situation in Ghana, the power situation? He said, I don't know. I don't what? I don't know. Why? 24 hour standby generator at home, at office, everywhere. He said, I don't know. I don't feel it. I live in Ghana, but the condition does not impact me. Why? Because my country is under obligation to provide comfort. That is what I'm trying to tell you. That if you understand that I am working for God, and that God put you here to labor for the ministry. I called one of our brothers who has a company. They clean this whole church for free. The bathrooms, everywhere. They clean everything for free. And I called him and I said, I need hand sanitizers. Very late in the night, almost 12 midnight. I said, I need hand sanitizers everywhere in the auditorium. He said, no problem, I'll get it done. At about 3 or so, he sent me a picture of all the hand sanitizers. And then he said, it's 10 okay. I said, 10 is not okay, I need 20. He said, it is done. That is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who care about the ministry. When Jesus was at the age of 12 years, they couldn't find him. And they searched for him everywhere and found him in the temple. And they said, why did you do this to us? We were worried about you. He said, don't be worried about me. I must be about my Father's business. So whatever we do in life, it must be about the business of the ministry, the business of the kingdom. If whatever we do in life, we don't have the ministry, the church, at heart and on our mind, we are wasting God's time and our time. I'm telling you. And I know every one of us is ready to go to heaven. But there will be surprises when we get there. Because if you think just going to heaven is going to the year and rest in the bosom, you are joking. There will be accountability of our stewardship whilst we were here on earth. Whoever we are, whatever we have, whilst we were on earth, it was given to us to advance the ministry. That is what it is. And God is a very interesting and shrewd businessman. A master was traveling, and he called to his servants, and to one he gave 5 talents to do business with, and to another he gave 2 talents, and to the other he gave 1 talent. The Bible says, and after a long time, he returned. May I announce to you that the master will return. Maranatha, Maranatha, even so, Lord Jesus, come now. He will return. And we will all give an account. We will all give an account of our stewardship. Then when the master came, he said to the one he gave 5, I gave you 5. Account for what you did with it. Tell me. He said, I did business. I made 5 more. I profited. It increased from 5 to 10. He said, well done, you have more. Then the one for 2, he said, yes, I traded with it. I had more. He said, good, you can have more. Then the one that had won, he buried it and said, I was afraid because I knew you to be a wicked master, to reap where you haven't sown. And the master said, that is your impression of me, you lazy, fearful thing. Take even what he has from him and cast him to utter darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a day of reckoning coming. And if you understand that you are on a mission, then there is no need to be afraid. Because heaven is under obligation to preserve and to keep us until our mission is over. And until the mission and assignment is over, there is no power of the grave, hell nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, that can afflict nor exact on us or stop our mission. Our mission is not over. And we are unstoppable until the mission is over. If you believe that, put your hands together. Let's go ahead. We panic. We are afraid because we are on our own. It doesn't matter what happens in countries. When the genocide began in Rwanda, all the nations of the world send in troops to evacuate their citizens. Not one of their citizens was touched. No matter what was going on in that country, they were careful about foreign citizens and the embassies. They never touched anybody because they didn't want to mess up with any country. I'm telling you, we are not of this world, and we are not on our own. We have a God and a Father in heaven who cares. And heaven is under obligation to preserve and protect us as long as we know that he put us here to labor for him and to advance the ministry. For it is in him that we live and move and have our beings. In him we live and move and have our beings. Go ahead. Deuteronomy 31 and 23.
And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said,
I give you a charge this day. Whoever you are and wherever you are, hearing the sound of my voice, this is the charge, saith the Lord, that saith Adonai, receive this charge. It's a charge. It's a command. Be strong and of a good courage. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee.
You see? So he said, why be strong and of a good courage? Because you are on a mission. You're on assignment. Yeah. And because you're on a mission and an assignment, I am with you for that cause. I'm not just with you because you're a special person. I am with you because you are on assignment. You must deliver and you will deliver. Are you hearing me, somebody? Yeah. Say, I will deliver by the grace of God. I will deliver without fail. Put your hands together if you believe it. He can mess. The enemy can mess with anyone, but not with you. Not with you. Because you're on assignment and the Lord is with you. A mighty, terrible one. Therefore, our persecutors shall stumble. Our enemies shall not prevail. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. Go ahead. Joshua 1, 6 and 7.
Be strong and of a good courage.
Again. Over 20 times the word courage is mentioned in the Bible. So you can be strong and lack courage. But God said, I need you to be strong and of good courage. Of good courage. Not foolish courage, but good courage. Not an evil courage, but good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Withstanding fear, confronting danger, knowing that thou, O Lord, art a shield about me and the lifter up of my head. Nalakutana mahasasas. Asafa luka dilamasan. De kusawan. Delay to kahan. Davayan kubahan. Divay to kulisa mahala. Lift up your hands and pray for a minute. Everybody. Lift up your hand. Talk to the Father for a minute. Those of you at home, get up from your seat, your chair. Those of you at home. You are to get up from your bed, your seat, your chair, and just walk around. Put your hands together and just pray. Dismiss your fears. Confront danger. Confront fear. In the name of Jesus, tell the devil, take your hands off me. Amen. Please be seated. Joshua 1, 6 and 7.
Be strong and of a good courage. Mm-hmm. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous.
Again, this time he didn't say of good courage. He said, but very courageous. Why? There's assignment. And there are threatenings. There will be challenges. There will be complications. You will face Jericho. You will face Amalek. The Midianite. The Zebutites. You will face different tribes. You will confront enemies. Crises. Nations. Complications. But he said, very, very courageous. I say unto you, be strong and be very courageous. With all the whisperings and all the conspiracy theories flying everywhere, causing men's heart to fail them for fear. For men's heart will fail them for fear. Fear of the things that shall come upon the earth. Go ahead.
Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest.
Joshua 1:9.
Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage.
Now this is God speaking again, reminding them. And that is what I'm trying to do. Because there's a tendency for you and I to forget. To forget. And lose ground. And become victims of our fear. And victims and casualty of the evil wind that is blowing across the nations of the world. He said, have I not commanded you? Have I not charged you to be strong and to be of a good courage? Go ahead.
Be not afraid,
yes.
Neither be thou dismayed,
uh-huh.
For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever
he
thou
goest. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged, perplexed, nor be in despair. Don't be afraid. Don't panic. Fear is a false reality that appears to be true. Don't be afraid. For I'm with you. No wonder David said the other day, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I shall have no fear. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comforted me. For thou preparest me a table in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you believe it, put your hands together, somebody. Exactly three. He said, though you walk through the fire, the rivers, the waters, he said, I'll be with you. Bounce and submit to someone. Hearing the sound of my voice wherever you are, this precious Sunday morning, that the Lord God is with you. He said, you don't know, I've missed it, I failed him. The Bible said, even when we are unfaithful, remain faithful. The Bible said the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are renewed every morning. And great is his faithfulness. Receive new mercies this morning. Receive new mercies. Receive new mercies. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Joshua 1:18.
Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage.
This is God speaking. Again he said, don't worry about accusers, opposition, enemies. They are already taken care of. All I require of you is to be strong and of a good courage. We will not stand down in the face of our fears and adversity, but we will stand our ground. We will stand our ground and push the enemy to the background. We will see the vengeance of God upon the enemy. We will see good many years of sweet victories. I said we will see many years of sweet victories. In the name of Jesus, if you believe it, say yes. When Joseph's brothers went to see him in Egypt to buy food in the time of famine, he said to them, the old man, your father, how is he? Is he still alive? And this was their response. And they said, the old man, our father, he's in good health and he's still alive. I declare on authority that during COVID and after, we will be in good health and we will still be alive. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, you will be in good health and still be alive during COVID and after. If you believe it, put your hands together. Shout yes. Shout yes. Shout yes. He's in good health and he's still alive. I will be in good health. I will still be alive in COVID and after COVID. Say, I'm a survivor. I'm a survivor. Say, I am among the survivors. I am among the survivors. Say, me and my house and this house and my nation, we are among the survivors. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together and say, I am a survivor. I am a survivor. Amen. Amen. Okay, Joshua 10:25.
And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage.
Again, be strong and of a good courage. Over and over again. Go ahead.
For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight.
You see, he said the Lord has already taken care of your enemies. So the problem is not your enemies. The problem is your inability to withstand the fear, to withstand and confront the evil. The Bible says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. These are evil days. And as never before, courage is ahead of you and I to withstand fear and danger. Because danger is everywhere. I was talking to a lady, one of my daughters in the church, and she said, Papa, I have COVID, but I don't go out. I don't go out. I haven't even been to church. She said, I'm always home, so I don't know how I got it. Yeah. I pray that in the name of Jesus, Luke chapter 21, verse 36, that you will be delivered, that you will escape, that you will stay awake and escape, that you will escape the dangers and the trouble and the evil that has come upon the earth. Say, escape, escape. Say, I escape. Say, I escape, escape, escape. Come on, put your hands together. Say, I escape. Me and my house, I command, divine, escape, 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 escape. Escapes in the name of Jesus. Say escape. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13.
Be on your guard.
Number one, be on what?
Your guard.
Be on your guard. Be on your watch. Number two,
stand firm in the faith.
Stand firm in your faith. Don't let anything move or compromise your faith. Stand firm in your faith. Don't be wishy-washy. Today you believe, tomorrow you are doubting. I'm worried about the confession from our mouth. Because we are confessing all kinds. Hey! It's terrible. It's bad. It's very bad. What is wrong with you? You are acting like some unbeliever. What is coming out of your mouth will create a negative or a positive atmosphere. Your words create life or death. Be on your guard. Be strong in your faith. Go ahead.
Be courageous.
Be courageous. And
be strong.
And be strong. Four things. Be on your guard. Stand your ground. Be strong in your faith. Be courageous. And be strong. These are not days to be afraid. These are the days to believe God. Joshua 1:8.
This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth.
What is coming out of your mouth? That is the problem. That is the lot of us cannot be courageous is because of what is coming out of our mouth. We are feeding our spirit with death. A lot of us has become spiritual anemic. We are spiritually anemic because we are not feeding our spirit with the word. We are feeding our spirit with conspiracy theories. Yeah. That's what we are feeding our spirit with. Rumors, speculation. Have you heard? They said, this is happening. Is this? Is that? What is God saying in the midst of it all? Whose report will you believe? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. What is coming out of your mouth? What are you saying with your mouth as a believer? Are you just talking based on what everybody is saying? Following all the conspiracy theories? It does not matter what the conspiracy is. We are in this world. We are not of this world. And heaven is under obligation to protect and to preserve and to grant us divine escape, immunity, and exemption. If you believe it, put your hands together. Job chapter 18 verse 21. No, Proverbs 18, 21. Proverbs 18, 21.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Those who love talking anything, those who just like talking, they just talk, they just talk, they just love talking, just say anything, you will eat the fruit of your words. That means what you are saying will determine the outcome of your circumstances. Death and life comes out of your mouth anytime you open your mouth. Proverbs 6 and 2. Proverbs 6 and 2.
Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth.
So you are snared by your own words, not by my words. Your words. And you go into bondage and captivity by your own words. What are you saying with your mouth? I'm here to remind you to take heed of what is coming out of your mouth. Watch your thought pattern. Be careful of what you are hearing. And be careful of what comes out of your mouth. Stand on your feet.